Good morning. It's good to be here with you. Greetings of grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today is a very special day, the day of Pentecost. You probably noticed the banners are red and it says, "Come Holy Spirit." That's what today's all about. So our sermon text will be from the book of Acts. And we're going to read from chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And you can remain seated for the reading. I'll read this in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya beyond to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And they were amazed and perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, declares God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Let us pray. These are your words, gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So who likes birthdays? Little kids? Some adults? Yeah, we like birthdays, right? So what are birthdays all about? It's kind of a celebration of a person's existence, really, right? We commemorate the day they were born. Now, why am I talking about birthdays on Pentecost? The celebration of Pentecost has been called the church's birthday. That's kind of how it is, that we're celebrating today the beginning of the church, the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit on the church. And so in a very real way, it's like the birthday of the church. We're celebrating today the very existence of the church and everything the church is, and how wonderful it is to be a part of the church, to have the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, Pastor Jesse, he talked about from the last chapter of Luke, if you remember right. Now I'm testing your memories. What did he preach about? We heard about the ascension, right? Jesus ascended into heaven. Well, today the story is very much a continuation of what we heard last Sunday. Jesus ascended into heaven last Sunday, and he said something before he went up. Do you remember what he told them? He told them, stay in the city, stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed on with power from on high. That's what he told his disciples. And so what we've heard about today is really the fulfillment of that. It's this power from on high or from heaven that came down. And so that's what's happening today. And so we read from the book of Acts, which, if you didn't know, Luke is the one who wrote the book of Acts. And like last Sunday, we heard from the last chapter of Luke. Now we're in Acts. And actually, this is considered the same book, really. Historically, Luke, Acts is like, it goes together. It's all Luke's record. And actually, it's probably just the other side of the scroll. Like, they didn't have enough room to fit it on one scroll or one animal skin, so they wrote another book, and we call it Acts. So we're just on the other side of the page of what we heard last Sunday. And so anyway, that's a little background of how we got here. So Pentecost, what is Pentecost? Pentecost, there's so many layers of historical intrigue to this whole thing. Pentecost is already an established Jewish feast. And that's what's happening here. There's a bunch of people, they're all gathered together in Jerusalem, and they're celebrating this Jewish feast called Pentecost. Now, maybe you recognize Penta. Like, what does that mean? I think of the Pentagon, right? It's like this building that has five sides to it. Well, anyway, Penta in Greek means five. So what the Pentecost is, it just means 50th day. And it's the 50th day after what? Another Jewish feast called the Passover. And so that's what they're doing here. They're celebrating Pentecost, which is the 50th day after Passover. And something very special happened on Pentecost. They're actually celebrating something pretty special. The Passover was celebrating God delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. Well, Pentecost is celebrating when God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And that's what happened 50 days after they left Egypt. And so that's what they're celebrating here. And it's amazing that the Holy Spirit is given on this day. Because like Jeremiah the prophet, remember what he promised? He said that God was going to give a new covenant and that God was going to put his law within them and write it on their hearts. So on the feast that is like remembering the giving of the law, God pours out his Spirit right into people's hearts. And so now we have his law actually written on our hearts. And he says that they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. So before it was like only the prophets had this knowledge about God. And people had to listen to a prophet if they wanted to hear about and know about God. Well, now that we have the Holy Spirit, we actually can know about God. We don't have to be taught by some prophet, but God himself comes and he lives right inside of us. And so that's what happened on Pentecost. And so this whole happening is, it's like I said, there's so many things that are important about Pentecost. And another thing that's important is it's the first, it's the beginning of the wheat harvest. So Passover happened on the beginning of barley harvest, and now Pentecost happens on the beginning of wheat harvest. And this is important because there's a parallel here about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is beginning a harvest, right? So there's going to be a harvest happening. And it's not a harvest of wheat, but it's actually a harvest of people. So the gospel now is going to be spreading into all the world. and people are going to be harvested into like the barn of salvation, if you could say it that way. And so this is all kind of important things about Pentecost. And so they're all gathered there, and it says, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It happened suddenly. It happened unexpectedly. They didn't have to do anything. They weren't doing anything. They weren't expecting it. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't need our help. We don't like need to be asking him or expecting him to come, but God just pours it out. That's what happened there at Pentecost. It happened suddenly. They're just all there having this routine feast, doing their thing, and all of a sudden, this thing happens. And it wasn't just a gentle breeze that came. It says that it was a mighty rushing wind. It's like very strong, like we're picturing hurricane force winds. And so this happens because this is showing the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said that they were going to be clothed on with power from on high. And so then this powerful wind comes down, and it shows the absolute power of the Holy Spirit. It comes on all of them, and it fills the entire house where they're sitting. And then this strange thing happens. There's these tongues. They're like divided tongues. They're split. And they're not actually fire, but it looks like fire. And these tongues of fire that look like fire, they go and they just rest over each one's head. It's kind of an interesting thing that, why tongues? Let's think about it. Like, if it's supposed to be the power of God and like this power from on high coming down on them, it could just as well be a fiery hand or like maybe an arm with a big bicep, right? Like some strength, right? But no, it's tongues. What's the significance of fiery tongues coming on each of them? It's that they were going to be given ability to speak. So you know, like, tongue is what you speak with. And so that's what was going to happen. This shows that the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, through the preached Word of God. That's where the power is. The power is in the gospel. Paul says in the first chapter of Romans that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, this preached word of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness for the world, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the tongues are there. They come down, and it's showing that these apostles here, they're going to be sent out with great power from the Holy Spirit. Great power and great ability to speak this gospel. They were given boldness and power that they didn't have before. And we'll see that later on when Peter stands up and starts to preach. He starts to preach. He's given words. He's given utterance to be this ability from the Holy Spirit to be able to speak in such an amazing way. He had just denied Jesus 50 days before this. But now has this power from heaven. And then also it's important that it rested, the Holy Spirit, or these tongues, they rested on everybody in the house. Now there was 120 people in there, in this room, in the upper room. In the first chapter we read that. There's 120 people all gathered together celebrating this feast. And now they all have this power. We don't know who all these people were. That's pretty significant. They didn't do anything good enough to make history, but yet they all had the ability. I think this shows us that no matter who we are as Christians, a lot of times we, in our own eyes, in our own mind, we think of ourselves as being pretty insignificant. That, I'm not that great. I don't know if I have this great power. But they were all given this ability. Every Christian has something to say. Everybody does. We all have a story to tell about Jesus. We can all talk about Jesus. He's done something for us. If we're a Christian, we have something to share about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives us this ability to tell about Jesus, what he's done for you. It doesn't have to be a great thing, like something that you would say is like this great sermon or something like that. It can be a simple testimony. It can be a simple witness. That's what the apostles and these disciples were going to be sent out to do, to bear witnesses. Jesus says that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. They're going out to bear witness to Jesus, to talk about Jesus, tell everyone what Jesus did for them. And so I want to emphasize that point. You all have something to share. All of us Christians have something to share. And we can share it with anybody. We can go into the ends of the earth sharing this message. And so this is an amazing demonstration of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's this miracle that happens here. They start to speak in other languages that they had no clue about before. This all happens for a reason. The reason this happens, this shows us that the gospel is universal. This isn't just for like a certain group of people speaking a certain language. You know, God has this thing happen to show that now this is going to go into all languages. This is for everybody. And so they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit's the one who's giving the ability to say these things. And utterance is something that, it's not just everyday speech. Like this is a special thing. They were actually given something to say. They were given power to be able to say this thing. And they began to speak. In verse 11 it tells us that they were speaking the mighty works of God. Sometimes people have a tendency to think that Pentecost was just like a bunch of people babbling and it was all this confusion and stuff like that. But no, they were saying things. They were speaking in languages and they were talking about the mighty works of God. They were speaking about what God had done. And so that's what this power of the Holy Spirit is to talk about God, to talk about how good God really is, and what good things God has done, which we call the gospel, good news about Jesus Christ. And so as they're there, this multitude comes together. Now this is a very noisy thing. When the wind comes, a huge wind comes to this house, and it's very noisy. The place is very crowded, and everyone like hears this, and I'm sure it causes this big commotion, and people start to come to check it out, and they're wondering, you know, what's happening, and they come, and that's when they hear everyone talking in their language. Like, this shouldn't be happening. They realize right away that this is not normal. This is a miracle happening. And in an amazing way, it's almost like the undoing of the Tower of Babel, right? Because the Tower of Babel, all the people spoke one language and then they were scattered because of their idolatry. Remember, God changed the language? Well, at Pentecost, there's people of many languages. They come together because of God's message of salvation. So you can see God is restoring everything that sin has damaged. And the gospel, this is a great beginning. The great beginning of Pentecost, where the gospel is going to start spreading to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is going to be doing his work on this world. And so then we get this big long list of names of places. And it's showing us that these were really people from all over the place. You know, it's like from Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and all these names that we can hardly pronounce and we don't even know where they are when we look at a map, right? But if you do look at a map, you can see that this is like the area all the way around the Mediterranean Sea. Like, this is like kind of the greater known world at the time. So this is a big deal. Everyone's gathered together. I mean, this is kind of like, I don't know, like Bridgefest in the Keweenaw, right? Like, everyone comes for that. And so everyone is there. And they all are from different languages. And yet, they're hearing them speak in their own language. They're all amazed. This is an amazing thing. This should not be happening. This is a miracle. And they're all like, we don't know what to do with this. Some of them are just perplexed. They're amazed. And actually, the Greek word here for amazed is like, they're beside themselves. They're like totally like blown away. They're standing outside of themselves. I don't know what's happening. They didn't know what to do with that. And then, of course, some people decide to mock and say, wow, these guys are just drunk. They're full of new wine. And the thing is, that's always going to happen. There's always going to be mockers. And that's something we can learn from this, right? When you share the gospel, when you bear witness about Jesus Christ, sometimes it gets mocked. And if something as great as Pentecost happened, the initial giving of the Holy Spirit, and there was mockers there, then we can be pretty sure that there's always going to be some kind of mocking happening. And so that's their mocking, and Peter does address that. But the people said, what does this mean? And Peter he's going to soon tell them what it means. He's going to stand up and give it to them. He's going to give them a sermon, the first sermon. And the first thing Peter does is he addresses the mockers. He stands up, and I just love this. It's Peter. Peter's the one who stands up. He's the one who had denied Jesus. He's the one who we get down on because he's always speaking out of turn and he's whatever, doing all these dumb things that we consider like, why is he acting like that? But now Peter is the one who stands up, and God's going to use Peter. God's going to use Peter to speak to these people. And so he stands up, and he has this power now from the Holy Spirit, and he has this ability to be very bold in to preach to them. He lifts up his voice. That means he raises his voice, and he just starts addressing them. He starts speaking directly to them. He's not shy. He's not shrinking away. He's not hiding in some room anymore. Now he's been given this power. And he says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Listen up. I got something to tell you." He has a message to share with them. And first of all, he says, these aren't drunk people. Drunk people, as you might expect, would be drunk at night. He's like, it's 9 in the morning. In fact, these people are under another influence. They're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And then he starts to talk about this thing about Joel the prophet. And you remember how Jesus had said that last Sunday, again, I'm really testing you to see if you listened last Sunday, I guess. But anyway, in the message last Sunday, we heard that Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's what happened. Peter understands the scriptures now. He knows what this is all about. And he was able to recognize Joel's prophecy being fulfilled. He understands the scripture. And he's like, no, this isn't drunk people. This isn't some other crazy thing happening. He says, this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And this is what Joel said. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is what God was going to do. God is going to pour his Spirit out on all flesh. In the last days. Are we living in the last days? We are. Sometimes people are looking ahead, like wondering when the last days are going to get here. Writing books about it and talking about it and all this stuff like that. Unless Peter's wrong, the last days started at Pentecost. Because he said, this is Joel's prophecy fulfilled. In the last days, God will pour out his Spirit. And so, ever since Pentecost, we have been in the last days. And notice the what he says, that I will pour out my Spirit. And there's a beautiful picture. It's like this language about pouring and filling. So we picture an empty cup or something, and God pouring out. That's how the Spirit is given. It's just like poured out on everyone. They were empty before. They had nothing to say. Peter had nothing to say. They were all hiding. They were just afraid. When God pours his Spirit, suddenly they're full. They have something to say. They have something to speak. They have ability to speak. They are given this power. He will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. All. Nobody's excluded now. And he goes and he talks about, he says, your sons and your daughters. So it's male, female, it's young and old, it's even slaves, male and female servants. Those are slaves. So it's like all groups of people, all classes of people. There's no distinction. Anybody receives the Holy Spirit now. Anybody. And that's how it is today. We preach the gospel freely, and it's for all people. Again, the universal gospel. We can share it with anybody. In the Old Testament, it was only the prophets who had the ability to really speak by the Spirit of God. It was very, very limited. You know, only in specific places and specific people God gave his Spirit to speak his word, to actually be given the ability to know about God, like what God wanted, divine revelation, and to speak about God. That was something that was totally foreign. Like, it didn't happen. It was only the prophets who had God's word. But now, everyone has God's word. It's poured out. It's actually just given to everybody freely. And so the thing is, we all now have the ability to speak God's word. We have this, it's like these fiery tongues, you know. We have this ability to speak God's word. It's given to even young people, like little kids and old people and everyone. We all have been given this. To know about God. To know what he's all about. To know what he thinks. What his desire is. And what is that? What is God all about? What things would we say about him? We would talk about his love. God is love. God forgives sinners. That's our message. We heard again last Sunday that the message of the church is the message of repentance and forgiveness. That's what we have to share. God forgives sinners. Hey, sinners, come to God. God forgives sinners. Everybody can share this. We can all speak by the Spirit of God. We all have God now. God living in us. We know about God. We've all been given insight into God's very being, his heart. What his disposition is, his feelings towards all of mankind. And that's why he says here that they shall prophesy. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy. That's what prophecy is. It's a divine revelation, like to know and to speak about God, where it was otherwise not known. It's like revealed. Well, now it's revealed to everybody. We all know the story. We all know who God is now. Again, like Jeremiah says, that they won't, have to teach anyone or everyone anymore saying, know the Lord. Like, in other words, this is what God is about. He says, but they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. It's like everyone can know God now. We all have direct access to God. And that's why he mentions this, young men shall dream or shall see visions, old men will dream dreams. These were all things that, ways that God accessed the prophets in the Old Testament. This is like prophet stuff happening. And now this is going to happen to everybody. God is going to speak directly to everybody. And then he even adds that even on the slaves. So it's like the lowest classes of people. We supposedly live in a classless society, but that's not really true. I don't think there's such a thing. We have classes of people. You know, if you go into a trailer park, you know that some people know they don't belong there. But none of that affects God's Spirit. None of it. It's given to even those kinds of people, from the rich to the poor, no matter what position, what strata of the social ladder you're on, doesn't matter. You have the ability to have the Spirit of God. God poured it out on all flesh. And he's able to speak directly to you. And then he talks about these signs and these wonders. He says wonders, blood, fire, smoke, a dark sun, a blood moon. All these kind of, you know, almost mysterious things like, ooh, what is this talking about? But he's talking about these are great things. These are supernatural things. These are things that shouldn't be happening, just like is happening here at Pentecost. This is not normal stuff. Now, why is he talking about this? He mentions this because he's showing how great redemption really is. What the work of Jesus is, and this message of forgiveness, is such a great thing that he accompanies it with all of these great signs and these wonders. So in like a certain way, these things that happen, which a lot of them I think happened at the crucifixion when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Remember what happened? The sun was darkened, the earth started to shake. There was like these signs and these wonders, like creation was even bearing witness to this. All of these things, they glorify Christ. They glorify the work of redemption. They're not greater than what Jesus did. Like, that's literally the greatest thing that's ever happened. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That's the great thing. And all of these other supposedly great miracles that happen, they're just like pointing to how great really that event was. So they're just, all these miracles are surrounding it. And it's glorifying Jesus' work. And then it says that it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It's here now, I'll tell you that. Because this is Joel the prophet. This is beforehand. He's speaking before. But now it has come to pass. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what happened. That's how it stands right now. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that the best news? Isn't that good news? Whoever. Again, no distinctions made, no special groups. For everybody, wherever you are. Sinners, can they? Yes, especially sinners. People who have sin, they can call on the name of the Lord. God forgives sinners. That's the gospel. That's the message. That's the message that these disciples were going to go share to the with the whole world. God forgives sinners. God saves sinners. It's a universal thing. And the name of the Lord, what is the name of the Lord? We have this thing that we say, maybe you've heard it before, like, let's say you see yourself or somebody as being very kind, and you would say, like, well, kindness, that's their middle name, right? Like, that's what they're all about. Well, I was thinking how salvation, no, that's Jesus' first name. It literally is. Jesus means Savior. And so whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He literally is a Savior. His name means Savior. That's what he is all about. And so there is no doubt. And so that's, again, the message we have is that sinners, come to God. God forgives sinners. We have this message. We have this message as the Christian church. We have this message to share with this world. Pentecost was a great beginning. It was the beginning of the growth of the church. The church would spread into the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit, as we said, came down to actually live inside of human beings. But Pentecost has not stopped. We still live in the power of Pentecost. The same Spirit, we have the same Spirit. We have the same good news that they had. The good news of salvation. The good news of forgiveness. It's still being preached. Because God is still gracious. And Jesus still forgives sinners. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we're thankful for the message of Pentecost.